Good morning. This month we're going to focus on being all things to all people. And as that clip there demonstrates, that we can get caught up in our selfie spiritually. In other words, we take time to just look at our world and just focus on ourselves and never look beyond our circle of friends, race, and all the things that come with that selfie attitude. I say that because as we do this, we are getting into a session in the year as a church to build this diverse congregation. We want to talk about issues that are diverse. And to do that, we have to get our eyes out of ourselves and think about other people around us and how we affect these people. And how we affect one another, black or white, or from any other race that you come from. But we need to look at that, and I hope you can see that. Overcoming spiritual selfie. Jonah chapter 1, verse 1 to 3. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I have seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. God help you if you try to do that. You're trying to get away from God? No way you're going to. The Bible says he went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. I think, as men and women of God, we come to God, hear the word of God. Then from that point on, we may be developing some growth. But instead of keeping up with God, we buy a ticket and go the opposite direction. One place it really shows how we're doing spiritually is online. Is what we post online. On our Facebook, on our Twitter feed, and all that stuff that comes up online. Especially when we talk race relationships, we say things that people look at us twice and say, hold on, are these people Christians? We kind of buy a ticket and walk away from God. Now, I understand the stuff we see is triggering, is real, it can get to you, but that is not a reason to buy a ticket and go away from God. You need to come to God and ask yourself, what scriptures do you need at that time? Because if we're going to build a diverse congregation, we've got to deal with the real issues that we post online. Then Sunday we come and say, praise God, amen, good to see you, good to see you. But your status online are not talking like you're a Christian. You're saying things there that we're like, what happened to Jesus being Lord? What happened to praying for your enemy? And that is something we need to begin looking at closely as we change our culture as a congregation and ask ourselves, do we practice Christianity offline and when we're at the back of our computers and our phones, when our fingers are walking and nobody can see us? That's what he did. He walked away from God, tried to get away from God. What other areas are you trying to walk away from God? What other areas are you walking away from God? Sometimes we get caught up in gossip and just walk away from God and continue in the gossip story forever. Whether it's an office, whether it's one another, we're just gossiping to a point where what happened to God and what does God say about that? We just walk away from God totally. What about in our marriages? How's that going? Are we walking towards God or do we totally walk away? We do what comes natural to us. If you don't talk to me, I won't talk to you. If you do this, I'll get back to you. Instead of how does God expect you to resolve your issues and what standards are you using? Your emotion, the way you were raised up, or by how God calls you to respond, which is being humble, talk things out in a humble way, understanding one another. We're doing safe people in a safe way. Way, amen. I hope you're doing safe people. If you're not doing, you're losing out on something. You need to get on that safe people business. How are you doing as singles? How are you resolving issues? How is your purity life? What do you tackle? Where do you go with that? Do you go to God or do you buy a ticket, try to get on a boat, go to Tarshish? The point be told is that when you become a Christian, when you get baptized and say Jesus is Lord, it's the beginning of a transformation that needs to continue until you meet your Maker. It doesn't stop. That journey takes different roads, dives, and goes up and down flat places, but you have to keep going upwards as you grow in your faith. That is a personal call that you take with God and say, Jesus is Lord. You don't buy a ticket and walk away from God. You embrace God and allow Him to change you one day at a time. That is what you got to do. He wasn't doing that. God spoke with him. He listened and then left the opposite direction. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord. We know the story that he went, got into the boat, and even non-believers figured something is wrong with his ship today. Who are you? He said, well, he was trying to hide who he was. Eventually, they figured he's the problem. And through they prayed and said, God, we're trying to save the guy, but it's not working out. Threw him over the ocean. You know, you're in a bad place where non-Christians look at you and say, who are you? I thought you go to church on Sunday. What has happened to you? How come you don't talk about God? Oh, when you say, I want to go to church, say, you go to church? Well, you know you're not living consistently. Something is wrong with our spiritual life when people don't know we're Christians and we don't even share our faith. And they look at us and says, who are you? Threw him over the boat. Anyway, he fell in water. Then Jonah prayed because he was inside the fish now. He prayed to the Lord and his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead and the Lord, you heard me. Is it possible that you're in the land of the dead, but you don't even know it? You've gotten so comfortable around it. It's like living around a sewage system for such a while, you get used to it. I lived around a neighborhood that was close to a place where they cleaned out the sewage. It was a it was pigs and stuff like that. But the smell would come in the evenings. It was a strong smell. In the early days, I said, what is that smelling? I'd go around my house trying to check if everything is okay, where the sewage was running right, and it was clean. After a while, I got used to the sewage. And visitors came, what's that smelling? I don't worry about that. That's just sewage from across the other side. We can get to that place spiritually where we're not disturbed by our spiritual condition. We get comfortable with not going to church on midweek. We get comfortable with not going to family group. We get comfortable with not even having a one another relationship, the old discipling relationship. We get comfortable with that stuff. And after a while, we rot because we're not in the body of Christ. We begin to fall off. Spiritually, we struggle. We wonder why are we so stuck? We're stuck because we will not embrace what God is teaching, the new things to you. He was in a dead place. He prayed. You need to pray when you're in that place. You don't just make up your mind. You need to pray. You don't just turn back. You got to pray for your heart and for yourself. You don't just change by will. You need the grace of God to change. And that is why you pray. So he prayed. You threw me into the ocean depth and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Sometimes God is trying to get your attention and you're frustrated and you're not turning to God. The more he tries to get your attention, the more you turn to your devices. Those devices can be pornography. Those devices can be food. Those devices can be just all the sinful things that come with it. He was praying and God had put him in this storm. Then the Lord spoke to Jonah a second time. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh and deliver the message I have given you. This time Jonah obeyed the Lord's command and went to Nineveh, a city so large that it took 3 days to see it all. You have to understand, in those days, cities were small. You could get around with a horse in a day or so. But if it's that large, it's a big metropolis. And the point is that the second time God speaks to Jonah and he listens. So the first time he didn't listen. He prayed, so heard, and God eventually spoke to him again and he listened. That I want to put it to you that the fact that there are things that you face in life and you pray about them, God may be speaking to you and you just need to listen so that change may happen. In other words, it will not go away. You have to listen to God. Then change will happen. Just because the first time you didn't listen, don't think I can just come back and skip that issue. Listen to God and change will happen. Church, I want to challenge us about listening to God. I want to challenge you. I've said that lately a lot. If you listen to God, you will change the way you treat other people. If you don't listen to God, your flesh will take over. That is a guarantee. If you don't have God's word running your life, your flesh takes over. And you cannot do that if you're not in the word. I've said that many times, but I'll say it until I die. So I want to challenge you to hear God's word. Obedience is an act of faith. Disobedience is the result of unbelief. Let's get this right. The reason this time Jonah was coming around, he was believing God. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Do not wait to see, then you obey. No, you obey first and then God will do what he decides he will do, right? And even if he doesn't bring it at the time you want, you have faith because he has a better plan anyway. Does that make sense? But you cannot develop that faith in obscurity. You've got to be in the Word, Romans 12. And then study that out, or 17, sorry. Study the Word of God and get into the Word and then you begin to develop that faith. Before he had unbelief, he just decided to go a different way. But for many of us, our unbelief comes from the challenge we must face to change. We've got uncomfortable somewhere in our life and we like it that way. And I'm saying to you today, start growing again. Start growing again. It's fun to grow. It's fun as we try to build a diverse congregation to reach out across the lines. It's fun to have people in your house that are not like you. Amen? It's fun to go on dates. It's fun to eat together. This is stuff we need to embrace. To build a diverse place, we've got to get serious about that. It's fun to reach out to people that don't look like you in the streets sometimes. Say, hey, how are you? Can I invite you to church? What church? Tell them a little bit about that. The other day I was inviting a guy, and I said, we are this kind of a church. He says, call me when you start doing that stuff you're talking about. I said, yeah, I'm going to call you. On the day Jonah entered the city, he shouted to the crowds, 40 days from now, Nineveh will be destroyed. The people of Nineveh believed God's message, and from the greatest to the least, they declared a fast and put on a bob to show their sorrow. When the king of Nineveh heard what Jonah was saying, he stepped down from the throne and took off his royal robes. He dressed himself in a bob and sat on a heap of ashes. They had God's message. Compare this to Jonah the first time. He ran away, right? No, they responded differently. They had the message, or they believed God. It's not just enough to hear it. Do you believe it? Do you believe what the Bible says? Do you believe? I know some of you are believing that your team is going to win this basketball finals going out. I don't want to get God in between. I'll let you figure that out. Tomorrow might be a tough day for you. Tomorrow night, you may not rest well. Depending on what team you go with. But it's not enough just to believe. It's not just to hear it. You got to believe it.
The fact that you believe your team is going to win, you're going to prepare yourself and sit in front of your TV and root for them.
I've declared who I like, so. I know my daughter likes the Warriors. I stay with James for now. They forgive me. And you know what? I've come to realize
that's the future, the Warriors. But we are right now present. Let's see what happens. But you got to believe. You got to believe. Now that you're not mindset of sport, now that you're not mindset of sport, what do you believe and what are you doing about it? You believe you can be fruitful? What are you doing about it? You believe you can change your marriage? What are you doing about it? You believe that you can change your purity? What are you doing about it? It's not enough to just hear. They heard and believed. Not moved them to change. 40 days. The people never believed God's message from the greatest to the least. Everyone. The animals were included in this business, man. They got the animals fasting. That's how serious they were. If you had a cat in your house, it wasn't eating. Dogs weren't eating. Nobody was eating. This was serious business. I mean, talk of conviction to a point where you get to the animals as well. And there's no sentimentalism in this one. Sometimes we are so sentimental about change. We don't want to change. We get so logical, so humanistic about it. We don't want to embrace what God is trying to do, and we go back and forth. And yet here you see clearly that they changed. They had that when the king, and then they stepped down from the throne and took their royal robes off. You see, change is uncomfortable. If you think about it, they're getting their robes off. You see that they're fasting. That is just the nature of change. I don't think that you can do change in a comfortable way. It has some discomfort. That's just the truth. Does that make sense? It does. And when it hits you and you realize I need to change, it's amazing, but it's uncomfortable initially. But as you grow in that space, you really begin to see what God was doing in your character. When God saw what they had done and how they had put a stop to their evil ways, he changed his mind and did not carry out the destruction he had threatened. So God has moves when we change. I don't know your situation, but I can tell you this. If you put yourself in God's hands, he will change his mind sometimes. We've had many stories of people stuck the last minute and God does something. Is a test of your faith, my faith. And this is the question we have to ask today. Are you ready to turn God around? Then you better get serious about your life. Fasting. You don't need to touch the animals. Leave the animals alone. Walk with you. Fast, pray, and God will turn the things around. This change of plans greatly upset Jonah, and he became very angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. This is why I said we got to overcome our spiritual selfie. It's all about him. Initially, he went another way. Now he listens to God, but he has an entitled expectation of how it should turn out. Now God changes, and that makes him upset. Sometimes when you're caught up in this spiritual selfie, it's all about you. You never think about anybody else. And that's what he's saying here. He got angry. So he complained to the Lord about it. Didn't I say before I left home that you will do this? Lord, that is why I ran away to Tarshish. I knew that you are a merciful and compassionate God. He's quoting scripture. Slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. You are eager to turn back from destroying people. Here's where we get it wrong as Christians. We can have an entitled way of viewing the world and hope that the world all misses the point. But sometimes they're getting it right because they get the principles of God. And then when he turns around, we're not happy. We almost feel like, why did they not suffer? We did something right and they succeeded. What's wrong? You know the story. That there was a guy that went to work and the master gave the equal pay from the guy that came in the morning to the guy that came at 3 o'clock in the evening. They all got equal pay. We can get very angry like that guy. Why is that? Because it's about us. It's not about God. If you think about it, our envy is driven by that issue of making everything about us. We struggle with envy. Why? Because it's all about us. That's what he's struggling with. I had to go through the sheep being thrown in the water. Now I'm out and back here. I talked to them and they changed for what? I wish they perished like you told me to. Because he wanted maybe to look powerful. And I can change stuff. It's not about you. It's about God. If you can just understand that, that it's about God, you will go through life with less stress. You will let go. You will enjoy your relationship with God. Many of us are so caught up in performing that we don't enjoy our walk with God at all. It's a performance. We don't just know how to say, you know what, God, you are who you are, and I need to put myself in your hands and obey you and be directed by you. And so he says this, he's upset. A sense of entitlement is a cancerous thought process that is void of gratitude and can be deadly to our relationships. I think that's what happens to Christians when we get entitled with our relationship with God. We really get to this place that is just cancerous. Our relationships go south. Why? Because we are not submitting to God. We've created our own God in our system, in our way of thinking. When is the last time you consciously submitted to God? Consciously. You know, the other day I was asking myself about how I live my life. And sometimes I lose my wallet sometimes. I mean, you know how it is, you can lose your wallet. And my wife says, just think backwards. And I think backwards and I couldn't figure out where I left the wallet. There's a time, I think last month, I had left it here. And thank God, next morning, they found it. The other day, I was in my office, just walking. I woke up, went different places, came back, couldn't find my wallet. I went to the last shop. I said, you know, I think I left my wallet over here. They said, sorry, you didn't leave the wallet here. And they were very nice, and I was suspicious of them. I said, you didn't take my wallet? Oh, no, I don't think so. The guy was overly nice. The more I became suspicious. I think he's just trying to get me out of here quickly. Then I went back to my office, and I found the wallet on my chair. What's the point of my story? Sometimes you can get going so much that you don't even sense what's happening to you. You don't know where the wallet, you don't know where you're living things. I think sometimes we get going so much in our spiritual journey that we stop connecting with God, that you don't know where you left Jesus. You left him somewhere. You have no clue. You go back to shops and you're asking people. We try to give you advice. You say, oh, they just don't like me. These people don't like me. We like you. We say, you left the wallet in the office. Go check there. In your house. That's where you left God. I think that our relationships with God starts in our homes. And that's where we're living God. We start very early with God. We try to pray. Some don't pray. Then we'll step out. We left him in the house. By the time we make the first left turn, we're already angry. We're just making all kinds of issues. By the time we get the office, we're not happy people. Then we wonder why does the Bible doesn't function. It's because we left God somewhere. We no longer are imbued with God. It's just something we do. He was struggling with the same thing. Now, God is doing what he wants to do, but he's not happy because he's entitled. Are you entitled as a Christian? Because I'm a Christian, life should just work out. Well, you got to do some work with God. Are you entitled as a Christian? Because I'm a Christian, my kids should just turn out right. No, we got to do some work. Because I'm a Christian, I should not be struggling. You will struggle because you're
in yourself without God, you cannot do anything. That's what he was struggling with. Everything we judge in others is something within ourselves we don't want to face. What made this Jonah so judgmental? He spoke the first time and they listened. God had to do it twice before he listened to God. Maybe he didn't want to face the fact that he has a bit of a hard heart and he had to deal with that fact. So it's easier to focus outside and say, look at inside, what's going on? You see, as Christians, we don't have time to judge the world. We need to have time to have compassion for the world. Compassion to win them over. Compassion to help them see God. We have no time to fight over some of these difficult issues. We need to let God mold us with this pain and suffering so that we may love each other even when we're from very different races. That is something we have to wrestle with. We cannot put that on ice if we want to win the world. There are certain pains we must walk through and come to terms with as we deal with this pain. But we have to do the work of being disciples in that area. He said this, just kill me now, Lord. I'd rather be dead than alive if what I predict will not happen. That's entitlement right there. Some of us just want to die. God, I don't have to. Can you come now, Jesus? It is a good time to come because there's too much to repent of. He's not coming until you repent. Why don't you just come today? I mean, there are days I felt like that. God, you need to come today. Today is a good day for you to come. That's escaping. We escape from the challenges that God gives us sometimes. We try to escape and say, no, I ain't coming. He was upset. The Lord replied, is it right for you to be angry about this? Then Jonah went out to the east of the city and made a shelter to sit under as he waited to see what would happen to the city. Up to this point, he has not accepted God's will. Sometimes God has made his will clear, but you're busy fighting. You're fighting at work, you're fighting on the road, you're fighting at home, you're fighting with relatives. Let God lead you. Some people don't like you. It's okay. Put yourself in God's hands. Don't keep fighting with that. Don't always have the last word. Give it to God. He's having problems just accepting what God has decided. For some of us, if we decided not to have the last word, our marriages will be awesome. That if she said something, you don't have to say something. We play this egoistic play in our... We're very egoistic in nature. I said, so you got to say, I said the last one. What? I got to say the last one. Yes. If I don't say anything, I got to do... Mm. It's very ungodly. It's all about power play. Get over that and put yourself in God's hands. You'll do a better job listening to the Spirit than playing games of, I said the last thing. That is growth right there. He's had a rough time hearing God, even though he's obeying God. The fact that you obey God doesn't make you change overnight. You know, I like to say, tell people, if you're broke before you got baptized, you'll come back, you'll be baptized, you come back as a, yes, you become a Christian, but you're still broke. If you got baptized and you had a propensity of anger, you'll still repent, but you'll have propensity of anger, so there's work to be done there. If you have propensity of lying, you change, but there's that there, you gotta keep working at it. Does that make sense? It doesn't go away just because I'm born again. It needs to be worked on spiritually. It's a journey that must be taken with zest and passion because God is at work in your heart. Then God said to Jonah, it is right for you to be angry because the plant died. Yes, Jonah retorted. You see that guy? Even angry enough to die. He's angry enough to die. He doesn't care. You know you're in a bad place when you start saying, I don't care, because you get to the city that is called, I wish I knew. That always gets to you eventually. It's a season of I don't care, but you come to a season of I wish I knew. That always happens. Then the Lord said, you feel sorry about the plant, though you did nothing to put it there. It came quickly and died quickly. That is the lesson about a Christian life. We have no entitlement. It's a grace of God that we have jobs, homes, friends, His grace to be saved, for everything we have. So it's not our place to walk back online and say ungodly things to people or write ungodly things to people. We need to hold our tongue, just like the Bible teaches there. It is not our place to judge people best because they're different on color. Let's work on understanding their cultural differences and love them the way Jesus loves them. It's not our place to stay the same. Jesus died on the cross so that you may be different, brought about to a place of salvation. God bless you.